On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Swole your roll. You might need to get your ad campaigns yoked, as we're seeing ad strength potentially limit impressions in the wild.
There's a lot of commendation around a new Google SERP feature.
Finding something positive from a keyword negative, Google adds new match type options for negative keywords.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernheld,
aka Shep.
I'm Nicole Waddington.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it's officially Marketing O'Clock
here on April 5th, 2024.
And before we get into all of the digital marketing news this week, Shep, it's great to have you back.
Thank you.
Where have you been?
I am coming off of a 11-day road trip with my children. It's a trip, not a vacation, as Greg would say. It was really great. We went, the final destination was Charleston, South Carolina to see my brother, but we like stopped in a bunch of places in between and saw some people. And at one point we were in Richmond, Virginia for Easter with my whole family in an Airbnb. And we went to a foreign church that we didn't, you know, we're not members of the congregation. We were maybe 5 minutes early and there was absolutely no parking. So we had to park really far away and it was like a 15-minute walk. So by the time we get there, we're late and I've been to a lot of churches where you're like standing on the aisles, like no seats. Mm-hmm. We were outside of the building.
Really?
Yes.
Did they have speakers or something?
You could kind of hear it from in there, but it was crazy. And then my mom was ahead of us. So she's in there and we're on the outside. And my daughter's been to church before, the 3-year-old, and she's usually like, okay, but she didn't know she was in church because she was outside. She was on her absolute worst behavior. It was so terrible, like so embarrassing, the whole time just chasing her around. And at one point she screams, "I don't want you to give my basket back to the Easter bunny." And everyone is laughing. And my mom inside heard it. She said everyone in the church was laughing.
That's good. I mean, I guarantee people were happy that she was there.
But it was like, so embarrassing.
She's like the you know, the lighthearted part of it.
Yeah, and you're never going to see these people again.
Oh, it was terrible.
Good point.
She laid on the ground multiple times, and everyone at this church was like really rich, like all these beautiful dresses. It was just mortifying. Hmm. Mortifying. But it was a fun trip. So nice. Glad to be back. Good. It was a great show. Missed you guys.
Missed you too. All right. And what do we have first up in the main news here this week, Shep?
First up, we have Barry Schwartz for Search Engine Roundtable. Google seems to be testing a comments button in the Google Discover and Google Search interface, not to be confused with notes. So this was spotted by Kushal Burwani at B4K_Kushal on X, and he shared, "Notice the comments button at Discover feed. It works like notes. New rusty brick," because Barry always knows. And there's a screenshot with this button live in the SERPs. And then it was also spotted by Shaheem at Karoth. And he said, "After the notes feature, Google Search is now testing a comments feature where you can share comments directly in search results. Just spotted it on Google Discover section." So he also noted in the SERPs, there's a note from Google that says the experiment will end on April 8th, 2024, and content posted can be retrieved on takeout until 30 days after the experiment ends. And some comments have been filtered for relevance. So there's like an expiration date on this already, I guess.
But the examples they have are like funny. It says, "This is the best recipe I ever used." So people are commenting on this. I'd assume to like bookmark it in a way, maybe be like, "Hey, this was great," and you can go back to your comments, be like, "What recipes did you like? What didn't you like?" But no, it's gonna be gone. Who's gonna use this?
Why not just bookmark it then? Also, it didn't work for notes. Like, if notes was a fail, why are we doing this? It's very confusing to me. I do like the word comments more than notes. I think it makes it a little clearer that it's user generated content and not like something from Google. I think it makes a little bit more sense. But it's weird that they're only testing it for like a week, and I don't know why we're doing this. Very strange. So But again, people can comment on your result in Google, so businesses beware.
I would understand it from a Discover standpoint, where you're like, oh, this is hack science or junk science or something, for almost like a social post, because that's the way it goes. But to put that on organic results, again, it's just going to open up so many cans of worms. And we know that there is no support or help of any kind from Google. And minus Jenny.
Why would you do it if it's going away, April?
So dumb. Additional dumb here. And this came, not, Nate's not dumb. This came from Nate Lewis at N8 Lewis on Twitter X. And Nate had seen something in his accounts, which is horrifying. Nate says, new Google search campaign. Will ads no longer show if they have low ad strength? Hashtag PPC chat. And Nate saw something live that says, your campaign is ready to run ads, but an issue might limit performance. And the issue is that the impressions have a little error warning, and it says low ad strength. Before I make any commentary, we're going to pull up a tweet from Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan Retail. And he had said, I forgot if we covered this last week, but it's germane to this point, so we're going to cover it anyway. He said, the other shoe was dropped. Ad strength can now be used as a tool to directly enforce Google's wishes, and has a look at Ad Exchanger. And this was from February, so we did cover that one. And it says, AI-generated creative assets are an important part of Google's strategy to boost adoption of PMax. For instance, Google is also expanding an ad strength meter, which tells advertisers if their PMax campaigns are poor, average, good, excellent, or incomplete. So because the fact that we're seeing impression, like limited, the impressions can be limited because of ad strength. When all these new definitions came out, I'm like, what is the background? What's the rationale behind having a prominence score? Mm-hmm. Like, why is all this new? This doesn't make sense. It's like a big deal. Everybody got emailed, and there's top ads, obviously absolute top ads. And then all these prominence features. The fact that ad strength could potentially limit your serving is a huge red flag, right? Ad strength is always supposed to be just like a diagnostic tool to kind of help you, but it looks at like the creative and the messaging. It doesn't like look at things like conversions and like what's actually working. That would be nice if you're like, your ad strength is up because this specific ad is actually driving conversions, but it's more like, how does it match with how does the ad match with the queries and things like that? But it's been a diagnostic tool, which is different than ad rank, which is a auction tool, right? And you don't see ad rank, but you can see ad strength, which is just so confusing. And if they can use ad strength to limit your performance, like they do now with things like your keyword might not be eligible due to low search volume, we're going to be in a world of pain.
Just more things that people don't understand how to optimize, because it's like completely a black box.
Yes. So if you want to know more about ad strength, it is supposed to provide you with feedback to focus on the right messages to your customer. It goes from incomplete, poor, average, good, and excellent. And then if you want to see how it plays into responsive search ads or RSAs, it says a higher ad strength will maximize the performance of your ad. I'm reading directly. Ad strength has two components, the overall rating that indicates the effectiveness of a relevant ad and the specific action items that can improve the strength of the ad. And they said a note here, advertisers who improve ad strength for their responsive search ads from poor to excellent see 12% more conversions on average. That's pretty big.
What is a conversion?
Take a guess at the sample size. How long do you think they pulled this 12% from?
Oh, it's a length of time?
Yeah, like just a date range, me.
The month of February.
Because I'm like 12%, this is like, I hadn't heard this before. The date range is source, Google internal data. Date range, February 28th. 2023 to March 1st. That is a day. There was no leap year in 2023.
Oh my God.
They went back maybe 2 days max, and they pulled a stat out from 1 to 2 day time frame to get that 12%. That's incredible.
Wow.
You're like, you're Google.
They don't care.
So anyway, another factor into your ad strength is automatically created assets that will be taken into account for your ad strength. So there's some thought, at least in my brain, that if you can't serve because you have poor ad strength and you need to get your ad strength up, we're going to turn on what you might be forced potentially to turn on automatically created ads.
They don't want us to have ads.
They don't. They
that
don't.
That we write.
But Ginny said, and again, poor Ginny, she was on vacation, comes back to this hex storm of garbage mm-hmm. that she's trying to clean up. Ginny had said, keep pinning where you need to in a PPC chat on Slack. That was part of my clarification. And she goes on to say, ad strength is not used in the auction. It's a diagnostic tool to understand the diversity and relevancy of your assets. But it might not be used in the auction, but you might not get to the auction.
Yeah.
So it's so impossible to figure out what is going on. And we do this. I was messaging Julie Bacini. I'm like, Julie, we do this for a living. Can you imagine those poor people that follow the at Google Small Biz account that are like part-time doing this?
Yeah.
How could you ever figure any of this out? And then Julie, or sorry, Ginny Marvin responded to Julie in the PPC chat and said, yes, feedback has been shared with the team. And just to reiterate, this is a UI experiment for diagnostic insights, talking about the limited—
The notification?
Yes.
But why would the notification be there if it didn't matter?
It's that a doesn't... UI experiment.
So is it really limited or is it not? They just want to see if they say it's limited, if people turn on automatically created assets. That's the test.
Well, if you have low ad strength, Lewis, Nate Lewis had a warning assigned to him. So apparently that was all just a UI experiment, which why would you make that a UI experiment if you're never going to do it? That's the thing. You're just saying this is an experiment. We're saying, no, this isn't real. Well, guess what? It was real, and somebody built this, and somebody programmed it and looked at it and said, you might not have enough impressions because your ad strength isn't strong enough. That's what you put a warning on this.
Yeah.
This is a warning you're serving
somebody.
You're
limited because of the ad strength or you aren't.
Yeah. It's a binary. It's what Nate got is just a joke or it's real. But Nate got that, which is just... And so Ginny said, it's a diagnostic tool and not used in the auction. But then again, it's the thing. Everything is not used in the auction. But are you eligible for the auction, right? It might not be used in the auction, but if you don't make it to the auction because of it, yes, technically it's not used in the auction, but you don't get to the auction mm-hmm. because you're not eligible because of your ad strength. So technically it's not used in the auction, but you're not getting to the auction because your ad strength is limited to the impressions like Nate saw. And if somebody could just talk, like, that's the thing. Like, Ginny is the one person in the world that would be able to talk. She can't talk. Like, yeah. This doesn't make sense. It's a diagnostic tool not used in the auction, and it's a UI experiment. Imagine that. A UI experiment. I'm going to experiment with random warnings that aren't real. That's a UI experiment? Oh. How could you do, like, how could you say that that's an experiment?
I don't know.
Heck with people and be like, hey, guess what? UI experiment. Oh, you're not going to be able to be seen because your ad strength sucks. That's not an experiment.
And again, what it's would they be testing? Experiment. Are they trying to see if people...
It's a UI experiment. They're just experimenting with the UI to see what people think. Like, this doesn't make sense. Nobody could look at this and be like, oh, that works. That's a UI experiment. No. And technically what she's saying might be true, but yes. This could stop you from making it to the auction, just like the fact that if you have a keyword in there and Google doesn't have enough search volume, it's not going to be the one served over PMax because it's not eligible. PMax will then serve that term because PMax is always eligible and search isn't eligible because there's low volume. It's just more fun. And there is no way, shape, or form that they aren't doing this for some financial
monetary gain.
There's something happening, and I think it's going to be the fact that you just aren't eligible if your ad strength is low.
Yeah.
Yes, it doesn't count in the auction calculation for ad rank, but you don't even get there
mm-hmm.
because your ad strength.
So then you turn on those automatically created assets, and then your ad can say anything they want that make people click more, even if they're not going to convert. Terrible. That's not the news I wanted to come home to.
Well, unfortunately, I have more Google news, but not really news, just a notice from someone who found a new feature maybe in Google Ads. So this comes from Adrian Decker at Adrian_PBC on Twitter X. And he posted negative match type. Ibrahim Kermwal just found these new match types for negative keywords in a brand new account. He told me it's not an April Fool. And there's a screenshot of, it looks like the search terms and you're trying to add negative keywords and there's a radio button so you can select what level you add it to, the ad group or campaign level or a negative keyword list. And now you also have the option to set the keywords as all broad, all phrase, or all exact.
That's cool.
I love this. For as much heck as we give Google for some of the stuff, this is like something that's just added to a keyword list. Amazing.
Yeah. It's nice to have something positive.
Yeah.
From a negative.
Okay, and then just a quick little conference roundup here. We've got a whole bunch of conference news, starting with Brighton SEO. They have signed a deal, and it came out today, that they're acquiring PPC Hero, the blog and site, Hero Conference, and Search Love from Brain Labs. So Hero Conference is going to be running alongside Brighton SEO in San Diego this fall, and there'll be more and more. So any type of PPC events, I know we're all for that. They're doing in-person stuff. Again, it's in November in San Diego. So I love to see that. I know that was a big popular conference. I've never been to there, but nice to see more options for people. Speaking of more options, Dave Rohr has a Chicago SEO meetup event. It is one day, June 6, 2024. And it's called the Chicago SEO Conference. It is from 11 to 7, and it's going to be great. There's a lot of, looks like a fantastic slate of speakers there. So if you're in the Chicago area, don't miss that in June. And then lastly, Search Engine Land has SMX Advanced, which I am helping to program. It's going to be great. And that is June 11th through the 12th. I think it is the biggest search conference out there, and it's 100% free. Also 100% advanced or 100% actionable.
Wow.
So that'll be a good one. So a lot of good stuff coming here from a conference standpoint, if you are so interested.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from Harrison J. Hepp on X. Harrison Jack Hepp. That's the middle name. That's what the J stands for. Harrison said, I think Google Ads has the best April Fool's joke today. Here's how to see it. Step one, log into Google Ads. Step two, open your search terms report. Step three, enjoy all of Google's April Fool's keyword matching jokes. Happy April Fool's Day, everyone.
So sad.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI, people. There was some PMAX drama going down with the marketing bros this week, so we're just going to keep you updated. So this all kind of started out with Colin Slattery at CJ Slattery on X, and he shared a post. He said, what happens when you keep brand terms in PMAX? You incinerate money. That's what. And he has a chart where it shows a breakdown of spend and revenue for a PMAX campaign where branded terms return on. So 10% of the spend is coming from branded word keywords and 90% are everything else. And then on the revenue side, 90% is coming from the branded keywords and 10% are coming from everything else. And then he had a very well thought out post below that about why you're incinerating your money. Then Brendan, pardon me, sir, whose handle I do love. See you never.
Yeah, let's go on.
I do like that. He posted, everyone has their own opinion, but my opinion remains this is cope. Bolded. I was talking to you about this earlier. Is that a marketing bro turn I'm not familiar with? This does not make sense in that sentence to me, but whatever.
I thought he was saying like cope with it. Is it?
But then he should say, but this remains coping, or this remains. You can't end a sentence with a verb in that, like, that's like saying, but my opinion remains that this is run. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Could it be cost of? No.
I think it's just slaying.
Yeah. It's just, just cope with it.
The bros need to explain it to me.
You're just too old.
Okay, run a brand PMAX campaign and a non-brand PMAX campaign and watch the branded campaign dominate your brand search campaigns. PMAX is 10x more efficient and 100x more powerful than regular search. We run a PMAX heavy strategy on our 8-9 figure accounts and they outperform search every time, and every single time we have proven it on the brand P&L. If this were true, why would the P&L become more efficient? He's asking about Colin's point. On a side note, you don't need support to add keyword exclusion lists to PMAX.
Yes, you do.
Just that's coming.
Sorry.
Log into your campaign settings. So either this was written by a ghostwriter or someone hasn't been in the ad account in a while. About Colin Slattery. You're acting surprised by this. You picked this story.
I thought I picked the Sam Tomlin.
It
thing.
Is. Okay. So that's what's coming. Okay. But Sam's point is replying
I
to this.
I missed all this. I would have gotten you something else. This is a lot.
So then.
Cope.
I'm serious. I don't think cope is. It's either a slang term or something. That makes no sense in that sentence.
It's cope.
Everyone has their own opinion. This is Sam Tomlinson, Digital Sam I Am.
His opinions are correct.
Yes, also. By the way. Not that we give them, but. He says, fact number one, the only way to add negative keywords to a specific PMAX campaign is to use the campaign modification exclusion form. This is clearly stated in Google's documentation. Fact number two, the campaign settings tab in PMAX does not permit specific keyword removal. It only allows for brand exclusion lists. Fact number three, the account level negatives, which he says Brendan is conflating with campaign settings, do not work as he's described. Here's the relevant excerpts. Quote, account level negative keywords prevent your ads from showing to people who search for or browse content related to those words applied to all eligible campaigns, including search, shopping, and performance max campaigns. And then he says, you're welcome to disagree about whether branded search and shopping or branded PMAX makes more sense. But like, what is Brendan doing? He's just lying in that tweet.
It's the account level negative keywords that is the
but he literally says you can add negative keywords to PMAX and you can't. Like
you can't. Well, you if you have a rep, you can.
But he's acting like everyone can do it. See
no,
you never.
No.
And
no.
Then he did have a tweet about how he's like, you know, just coming for people on Twitter now and he's trying to be a bro.
It's more, okay.
But you can't just lie. Anyway, see you never.
Now it's time for this week's pew pew lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week, Microsoft Advertising has expanded maximized conversion value bidding to all search and shopping campaigns. And if you're not familiar with this from Google, it, quote, automatically adjust your bids in real time to maximize total conversion value within your budget. So you can now use that in other campaign types. Next up, Google Ads has a share ad option when you're setting up your PMAX campaign asset groups now. So if you click this button, it will generate a link that you can send to clients to preview the ad across different PMAX inventory. They do not need to be logged into Google Ads. You could send this to a client and they could click between Gmail or Google search or display, discover and see what the ads would look like. And it like slowly generates different iterations of your ad. So it's not going to show an exhaustive list of all the options necessarily. So I kind of think it's pointless, especially now that they're making us turn on automatically created assets if we want impressions, apparently.
They're not making us, but the roadmap
that's what it seems like.
If you want your ad strength to go up to get impressions, that could be a possibility.
So what would be the point of sending this to your client when all the assets could be overridden? I guess it's nice, but
I think it's nice because PMax is tricky, and at least you could be like
the format.
Yeah, and be like, here's what it might look like. Because it's hard to be like, well, it's going to be in Gmail. It's going to be in Discover.
Yeah.
It's going to be in Search. It's going to be in Display. And at least they'll be able to like grasp what it could look like.
But if you have a client who's like concerned about compliance and print, this is not an exhaustive list of what your ads could look like.
So. No. And I just had a client come to us, or a potential client come to us, and they're in a very regulated industry. And that was my number one thing. It's like, do we have to get you every version of the ad? Because in the past, we've had to get every version of an ad to run by a lawyer. And it's like, because if so, we cannot use PMax.
Yeah.
And probably everything will have to be pinned and nothing will work.
Yeah.
So just so you know, nothing's going to work.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Google Ads released its annual safety report last week. Barry Schwartz noted that 90% more advertisers were suspended in 2023 compared to 22. And Glenn Gabe noted, quote, in 2023, Google removed 5.5 billion ads, suspended 12.7 million advertiser accounts, restricted over 6.9 billion ads, and restricted ads from showing up on 2.1 billion publisher pages. But no telling how many of those were legitimate things or just when we all got flagged for using the word got in our ad copy. So just noted. Next up, Akvila DeFazio at Akvila DeFazio posted on X, ever since the Meta outage last month, one of our accounts can't recover. We duplicated our campaigns, worked better out of the gate, then wrapped the month not outperforming the older ones as somewhat expected. Anyone have a solution? And a bunch of people were replying to this, and it seems like it was likely a bug with custom conversions. Again, Meta's a disaster, but follow Akvila to stay up to date. And next up, a new article from Adweek says that Perplexity, which is a new AI-generated search engine, has plans to start selling ads on their related questions. So when someone searches and asks a question on Perplexity, it uses AI to answer it based on web sources, and it also suggests related questions that people might also ask. And these related questions account for 40% of Perplexity's queries, and they are where companies can start introducing native ads by letting brands influence these questions. So seems like there could be some options coming there. And Perplexity is a really hard name for a search engine.
I saw people hating on this. I don't really hate that much. Like, at least you're not showing the ads as answers.
Yeah. If it's labeled.
Yeah. It's just, you might also ask this. Okay. It's like Taboola ads to me.
Next up from Brian at IAMPPC Brian. Anyone
else?
Is that
a mugshot?
I don't know what's going on with him. Maybe his New York State driver's license photo. Mine kind of looks like a mugshot. Anyone else having issues with Google Ads Editor being able to post changes? And he says he's slowly losing his mind over here. And that thumbnail, that picture that he has on his account really shows that. So I guess if you updated Google Ads Editor last week, you're probably having the same problems. And I hope they are resolved before we post this episode.
Yep. And it was a noted outage on the Google Ads health meter thing.
You got to wait to update until you hear the response from everyone. Such a nightmare. And next up from Adrian Decker on LinkedIn, breaking news for responsive YouTube ads. You can now run up to 5 videos at once and show 5 calls to action, 5 headlines, and 5 descriptions. That is really cool. So if you're testing YouTube, you can add more responsive options there.
Is that helpful though?
Why wouldn't it be?
Because could you see the conversion value from each video if it's just one ad unit?
Oh, I would hope so.
But if it's like an RSA or something and you're looking at your ad strength, like you don't get to see.
Yeah.
That.
Good point. Maybe they'll give it to us. You never know.
Something to think about.
What's happening in organic?
Okay. First up in organic news over on RSEO on Reddit, there was a bunch of commentary about bloggers removing their table of contents and reaction to what Danny Sullivan, the Google search liaison, said. Danny went to go respond, and apparently the moderators deleted all his comments. I went back, some of them were added, and Danny re-added some of the comments, but you can just look and see that it's like removed, removed, removed. And it's like,
why?
Don't you want this guy to come help people that is from Google?
And what did he say that made them remove the table of contents?
It was like pretty benign. It was, again, it was like Google stuff, like make content for users, blah, blah, blah. If you want to have table, I don't know. That's probably what it was. I just made that up though. So anyway, and it's, I just thought it was funny because like Google is doing nothing but promoting Reddit right now. It's just Reddit, 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 Reddit. Every time you Google something, and then the Googler goes on Reddit and gets deleted. Like, speaking of Reddit, here from Lily Ray at Lily Ray NYC on Twitter X. Lily had said, serious question for you at Search Liaison. For 6+ years and throughout the quality raters guidelines, Google has shared that your money, your life queries, presumably like weight loss, require the highest level of EEAT, expertise, experience, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. For 6+ years, we've seen sites like CDC and Harvard ranking prominently for these queries, plus Google's own symptom search knowledge panel. Why is it okay? And I'm skipping ahead a little bit. Why is it okay for Google to add a discussions and forums carousel above all of these EEAT driven medical results when we are seeing how Reddit is being overtaken by affiliate spam and scammers? Now, the one example, and you can do it right now live if you want, Shep. You can go to Google, and she put in the term weight loss, which I'd assume has a decent amount of queries out there. And I confirmed it was working for me. The number 2 organic result, if you scroll down, was about a prescription weight loss drug. So the first listing was from Cura, and it was what are the most effective weight loss packages or programs? The second listing was, so what does Zepbound do for weight loss besides reduce how much you eat? And this subreddit is like a very pro prescription weight loss thing that seems like it's supposed to be for like class 3 obese folks. But that's what Google is showing as the number 2 result in the search engine results pages. And so I went to look, I'm like, maybe this is like a great post or something. And maybe they're like, here's what you should do. You should do diet and exercise, calories in, calories out, go to the gym, blah, blah, blah. No, it's just all these people talking about how great this drug is and how it makes them not be hungry. And then somebody, the highest comment, like linked over to PubMed at least. And there was like 30 people in this study that talked about something. And then the third best answer was what looks like somebody stole a story from like Instagram about how the drug might work, but it's for a different drug. And at the bottom, I love the scientific statement that was, again, on this second highest listing for a term like weight loss that is going to a subreddit promoting prescription drugs. They're saying apparently, primarily, makes folks stop thinking about overeating and controls appetite! That's the scientific basis.
Expertise.
That's like really concerning. Yeah. If you go to that subreddit, everything is like, this is the best it's ever been. Everything's great, blah, blah, blah. Even in that thread, it's like, well, what it did for me is it really cleared my mind. And it's like, all that stuff is great. But like, there are people that are 16, 7, I don't know. Like, this is the last thing that you would think Google would be doing is showing in the second position for weight loss something about a prescription drug for, what was it again, Zephadil?
Zepbound.
I don't know. I was like shocked that that was there.
Yeah, I agree with Lily.
The other thing I do at home is I make up fake prescription drug songs because they're on all the college basketball.
Do you want to make one up for Zepbound?
What's the main one that's like, Ozempic? Nothing is everything. What is that one? It's like,
I know that. Is it Manjaro? Wingovi?
That's an affliction.
Jardins? I didn't think that was a weight loss one.
It's like Trufescent, Truvista. I don't know.
You should make up the name of the prescription.
Skyrizi. It's Skyrizi. Nothing is everything. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, yeah. So weight loss. Apparently Google is saying second result, just use Zepbound. There you go. Zepbound and Get Found.
That's your song?
Yeah. OpenAI ChatGPT will be showing more links, which is amazing. There's an example up. Apparently it came from one of the lawsuits, but instead of just giving out the name of something, they'll pull in some of the main sources from that. So you see things like TripAdvisor, Maze of Love in the example there. Absolutely love to see it. It's one of those things I cannot believe Google still doesn't do. They put that little carrot underneath, but then they show results and it makes everything look fake. But love it, love it. I think the more you can do of that, the better off people, the more receptive people will be. And then also your users want that more. Users don't just want to know what a machine thinks, but also some of the sources, I think. Okay, members only shorts are here on YouTube. So if you have members only content, you can now do members only shorts. Yay. All right. Actual cool update from Microsoft. This was from Barry Schwartz over on Search Engine Roundtable. You can now see Microsoft Copilot refer data in GA, which is awesome. So all you have to do, he's got over on Search Engine Roundtable a set of regex prompts that you can do to see where your AI traffic is coming from. But now you can see Copilot as well. So, and then if you Bing something and you like, if you touch like anything on the screen or like go up, you're in like Copilot and you don't even know it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like it's the worst part of Bing now. Like I'm always co-pilot. I'm like, I don't want a co-pilot. I'm the pilot. Okay. From power listener of the show, Adam DeFrisco at @DI_FriscoSEO on X. He said, Google Small Biz tweeted a poll. What's the secret ingredient that makes mom and pop businesses stand out? You know, he's a listener of the show talking about Google Small Biz.
Mm-hmm.
He says, funny. I didn't see paying Google to take traffic directly away from other small businesses as an option. And he links, or he quote tweets something that Darren Shaw saw on Google, and somebody was searching for a Disparity Law Group, I believe was the query. And underneath it says, people also liked Jones Criminal Law Group with the slightest gray ad color next. So, like, you actually
did not see that.
You need
label.
To go to YouTube to see this ad unit here.
Why so are they being so crazy with the? Oh my!
I mean,
God.
You couldn't make this more light.
And you're messing with the lawyers. Like, don't you know what you're doing?
Wild
lawyers, get them.
But maybe put it at the bottom. Like if somebody goes through the listings and doesn't find what they like,
mm-hmm.
You are literally putting for Disparity Law Group here an ad for Jones Criminal Law Group within the same like line spacer. Like it's wild that they're doing that.
That's criminal. I hope Disparity prosecutes.
I hope so too.
It's not good.
Okay. From 9 to 5 Google, YouTube TV is estimated to have more subscribers than Comcast and Spectrum by 2026. YouTube TV has grown quite a bit. Right now, it's only at 12.6 million, but apparently the estimates are saying that everybody's ditching cable and YouTube TV is growing, so something to watch. Additionally, over from TechCrunch, OpenAI is making its flagship conversational AI accessible to everybody. You don't have to be logged in anymore. So if you want to go and use ChatGPT, you can use it without being logged in. If you don't opt out, it will be used for learning. Whatever you do, it'll be in the training data. And then it also has slightly more restrictive content policies. I don't know exactly what that means, but maybe more people use ChatGPT. Okay, from Glenn Gabe, Yahoo is planning to acquire Artifact. It was something that was developed by Instagram's co-founders, and they're buying it for an undisclosed sum. Yahoo's buying the news app's tech, not the team. So it was about recommending stories to readers, and the co-founders couldn't get it to scale, so Yahoo's might be doing that. So, okay, also maybe like Royals Rejoice? I don't know, but OpenAI is debuting Voice Engine, which lets users generate a synthetic copy of a voice from a 15-second sample available to around 100 partners, including HeyGen.
Are you trying to say that the Royals are still lying?
No, I want your take. Is thoughts and prayers to Kate, first and foremost.
Yes, I'm disgusted recover. With myself that I ever...
Get well soon. People are saying that the ring moved around in the video.
Oh my God. No. Can we let this woman live?
Yeah.
Hasn't she been through enough?
I just wanted your take, and I think we got your take.
My take is I feel terrible forever, and I wasn't that speculative. I always thought, like, I wasn't one of the people saying she got, like, a BBL, you know? But I just feel terrible for her. That was a real video.
It was? Okay.
Yeah, everyone said so.
I don't know anymore. I saw people being like, no, this is totally fake.
That was a real video. I know. I saw Kate Middleton in person.
When?
When I was a senior in college. I lived in New York for a year, and she came to some event in New York, and I waited outside the steps of the Met to watch her walk by, and I was interviewed by Vanity Fair.
No, you weren't.
You didn't see this on Twitter?
No.
Yeah.
No.
You can Google Christine Shepherd Vanity Fair. The article comes up.
Okay. And
Christine Shepherd gushed was the quote.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I saw her.
Brushed with my greatness. Own eyes.
I would know.
Okay. I mean, we can't have better evidence than that. So thoughts and prayers. Okay. There may be a competitor to Sora, which is OpenAI's video creation tool. Apparently, the Snap AI chief or former Snap AI chief has launched something called Higgsfield AI that is an AI-powered video creation and editing platform. So there might be another competitor to Sora and more videos coming out that are not like the Kate Middleton video. That was real.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I thought this was interesting. Marie Haynes at Marie_Haynes on Twitter had a video clip from Mark Cuban on Lex Fridman's podcast. And apparently there were some issues with these like keto gummies that were ranking in Google. There was never like a Shark Tank endorsed keto gummy, and Google was like having it show up high, and people are complaining to Mark Cuban. So Mark was saying that he worked with Google to fix this. And then he responded to Marie and he said, "I didn't do a good job explaining it. There was never a keto gummies product on Shark Tank. There were a bunch of scammers that sold these gummies at being on the show. Elderly people would buy them and not let them cancel. So they'd email me to ask why they couldn't cancel, or why the gummies didn't work. It took some time, but I was able to get to the right people at Google. What the scammers did was smart. It was to set their web pages so that any Google-owned domain looked at the page and saw a very benign page that was cloaking, and they didn't see the e-commerce page for the scam results." So I just thought it was cool that, and also like, can we vote for him? Can we vote for Mark Cuban?
Yeah. He would be the biggest advocate for us Google advertisers.
He's like, oh, there's mm-hmm. a problem. It's yeah. not even my issue, really. Mm-hmm. Somebody's just taking my name and swindling people. Let me just go get it fixed.
Yeah. Why can't be like that for the rest of us? We're just plebs.
All right. And that's it in organic. What's happening in social, Nicole?
All right. First up in social is from Alessandro Paluzzi at Alex193A on X. He posted, "Instagram is working on Blend. Reels recommendations based on reels you've shared with each other and your reels interest. It's private between the two of you, and you can leave the Blend at any time." Kind of like this. It's like Spotify, where you can combine music tastes. And TikTok has launched a $2.1 million ad campaign in battleground states of Nevada, Montana, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, which are currently represented by vulnerable Senate Democrats. And this comes as U.S. senators are reviewing a House-passed bill that would require TikTok's China-based parent company ByteDance to divest the app from its holdings within about 6 months of the bill being signed into law. A lot of people are coining this as a ban. It's mm-hmm. not a complete ban. But if ByteDance fails to do so, then TikTok would not be available to download in the App Store and Google Play.
But what happens if you already have it downloaded?
That's my question. Maybe you wouldn't be able to update it.
Yeah, it's time to bring back the Oh No song.
And TikTok is also buying ads in New York, Massachusetts, and Minnesota, which are key ad markets for reaching young people and journalists like who live
Minnesota?
In New York City. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I know some nice people there. What kind of ads?
Yeah. So there was one. So CNBC, which is where this report comes from, found one of the ads that they were running. And it was just like stories of like small business owners talking about how they would be impacted if TikTok was banned. So
I can't dance anymore.
Yeah.
Some people really use it.
I'm joking.
TikTok shop is huge.
I know.
news from Elon Musk at Elon Musk on X. He said last week, going forward, all X accounts with over 2,500 verified subscriber follows will get premium features for free, and accounts with over 5,000 will get premium plus for free. So it kind of feels like Musk thinks the more people see that users have the check mark, the more people will want to pay for the premium subscription.
Like, you're getting people paying, you have 2,500 people paying you, and he's like, all right, you get $7 for free a month. It's not that. Cool.
Does everyone have the X logo that they can use on X like that? Or just Elon?
No, it's his company. That's a company organization account.
No, but it's in the text of his.
Oh, no, I guess that's a
special Elon.
That's an Elon.
Kind of cool.
And last in social from Lindsay Gamble at Lindsay Gamble _ on X. New, LinkedIn is testing a new short form video experience, including a dedicated video tab similar to TikTok Reels Shorts. Hat tip to Austin Knoll for discovery and screen recording. And it seems like, again, like he pointed out, similar to what YouTube is doing, what TikTok does, where it's literally just scrolling through video.
About marketing and hustling.
Yeah, about business.
Yeah.
I guess we'll probably be on there, so I shouldn't.
Put this on here. I couldn't pick anything worse than me being on LinkedIn right now on their short form video.
That's
lame. We don't need, just imagine how many bros are going out there.
Yeah.
This one simple trick made me $10 million in a minute.
PMAX negative keywords.
Oh, thanks.
And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work. Good, bad, or otherwise.
Okay, I've stated I've been out for a really long time, but if you've ever been in a Wegmans public bathroom, they have, like, in the family stall, not only the changing table, but they also have these little floating chairs. Because when you go to the bathroom with your baby, you change them. But if they're not like a walker or a stander, what are you supposed to do? You got to go back out, give them to the person waiting. So I could put the baby in the little floaty wall thing. She was strapped in. And she sat there and watched me pee. It was really lovely. Also, thanks to everyone who watched my accounts while I was out. And this show is actually really nice for catching up on the news when you miss like a week of work. It's nice. I didn't have to follow anything. So great job.
All right. For me, hardly working is Google Ads search campaigns. So I was on a call with a client last week and they were really curious about how search campaigns were built. So I was like, okay, sure. Like, if you want to hop on a screen share, I can show you how we build one out. And we filled out all the information, all the settings, built our first ad, ad group, added the keywords, go to publish, it glitches. And it's telling me that there's an error and won't let me publish because similar audiences are added and don't exist anymore. You have to remove the similar audiences.
How could you add a similar audience, Brandon? I know exactly what you're talking about.
I go back, I'm like, we did not add any similar audience. We did add observation audiences. So I go back in, I remove the audiences. I'm like, we can put them back on when it's published. Still, get an error. And I was just sitting there like, yeah, this is our life. Like, there's a way to do this in editor. We can try that. But he was just laughing.
Well, you couldn't publish an editor this week either, it looked like.
Yeah, apparently.
You know what? I have good news, though. Mm-hmm. More generative AI is coming to Google Ads. We just want it to work. Mm-hmm. Okay, and for me, something working hard is the table tab in Performance Max. I always struggle to run through the reports and to be able to pull stuff. I just forgotten all about that table view, and the table view is actually nice to be able to look across different asset groups. So just a reminder, there is that table tab, and it might be able to save you from going into that dreaded reports overview.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
For this week's Cool Tool, we don't talk about Bruno, but we can sing about Suno. Ooh. Suno.ai is an online AI tool that can help you generate a song about anything. So all you have to do is create a free account and you can type in a description about what you want the lyrics to be like, what the vibe you want is, and Suno will generate a song with music and lyrics. So in the notes, I saw that we have a song titled A Good Day to Die Hard, and the Suno AI generator described this as rock action-packed.
Yeah, it was, remember Jack had needed a new segment, yeah. So I said, hey, Suno, can you make something called A Good Day to Die Hard? And it did, and mm-hmm. we will play a little snippet of it right now. It's not bad.
It's no Cowboy Carter.
Well, I have another treat for you. I wanted to make a song dedicated to our own Jessica Lee Budd, and it wrote for me Fading Memories.
Wait, with, they picked that title?
Yeah. Yeah, they generate the title and all the lyrics. And this is described as heavy, metal, intense, aggressive.
All right, and let's give it a listen here live. Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, I thought
so.
It
was the idea
job.
That people would use this to like write jingles for their brand.
If you need a song, you make a song. I mean, you can make like instrumental stuff too, so wow. You don't have to go through and like buy stuff.
We paid big bucks for our theme song. It's too bad.
Yeah, ours is great though.
Yeah.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from the one and only Andrea Cruz, Maximizing Your B2B Spend. Is account-based marketing worth it? And Andrea goes into ABM, account-based marketing, talks about how you can understand it, some of the upsides, the downsides, her contrarian approach, which you definitely don't want to miss, and then like why it's right for you and where to start. So if you are looking to dip your toes in or get some different opinions, some contrarian opinions, Andrea has you covered. Thank you, Andrea.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to, which you can find over at playlist.marketingoclock.com. What is going on the playlist this week?
I need to start a new podcast about Cowboy Carter. It has changed my life. I wish I could add every song. I'm going to go with Yeah, Yeah. So amazing.
And I have to join you in the Beyonce. I am going to be adding Bodyguard by Beyonce from her new album.
Greg, what is your favorite song on Cowboy Carter?
I haven't listened yet. I'm excited to.
You are really missing out.
I know everybody in the roster office is talking about it.
Okay, so what are you adding?
I don't have anything for that. I have not listened yet. There's basketball and stuff going on. Sorry. I don't even have a song. I'm just going to pick one that's on my favorite list. I don't even know what it is. It's called Ride by 21 Pilots. Who knows?
All right.
I liked it at one point. Probably good. Probably can work to it.
All right. That does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
And we can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we cover. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
And we are playing everybody's favorite game today. What is that game?
We are playing something near and dear to your heart after your recent trip here. We're playing Travel Buddies. This is where you have to pick somebody based off of their personal preferences as you're going to go on a global trip. international excursion with this person.
Okay.
There's a right answer and there's a wrong answer.
Of course.
And I feel like you guys are going to nail it today.
Okay.
Absolutely nail it. Okay.
Is Julia playing?
Yes. Julia is a deciding factor.
Yes, if we disagree. Okay.
Yes. So this is the TV show edition. So first up, somebody whose favorite TV show is Love is Blind or somebody whose favorite TV show is Ultimatum. The Ultimatum.
And the Ultimatum is the one where you give your partner an ultimatum?
Yes. It's like somebody, like they're on the fritz and it's like, you either need to decide by this time or we're done. Have you ever seen Ultimatum?
I haven't. I've heard of it though.
Julia, have you seen Ultimatum? Yes, okay. You might be the authoritative subject matter expert here.
Yeah. I've only seen Love is Blind, so I think I'd rather travel with that person. Okay. At least we could talk about the show.
Yeah. Okay. My only drawback with Love is Blind is that the episodes are really drawn out and it takes a long time to get to the juicy stuff when they actually meet in person.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. Julia, what do you think?
I'd have to say Ultimatum. They're ready to make a decision, know what they want, where to go, what to do.
They're not on the show.
Well,
they enjoy watching people make decisions.
Okay, well, you guys got to come up with a final answer.
We're going with Julia's answer. She's the only one who's seen both.
Okay, you would think that would be the answer because they're good decision makers. Julia, you hit that on the head. But it's too phony. It's trashy. You want somebody who is genuine at heart, that is actually going to be able to sit there and root for people talking through a wall to find true love. That's going to be a good person. Your other trip, if you go with the ultimatum people, it's going to be complete chaos. They're going to be like, yeah, you got to eat here or you have to go run 10 miles naked or something like that. We give you ultimatums all the time. You don't want that. You want the people genuine enough.
I'm so sad we got it wrong.
Okay, next up, easy one. Somebody whose favorite show is Breaking Bad or favorite show is Sopranos?
I've watched most of Sopranos, no spoilers. I've watched like 2 episodes of Breaking Bad.
I'm the opposite.
They're both just like the lack of concern for human life is like really upsetting to me. And
that's
I
grouped them together.
I don't want to be with either.
You got to pick one.
I think maybe Sopranos just because I love to talk about the Christopher Columbus episode. I think it's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I'm a little indifferent because I haven't seen Sopranos, so I'm willing to go with what Shep said.
All right, Julia, do you have any thoughts?
I'm with Nicole on this. I haven't seen Sopranos, so what Shep said.
Okay, the correct...
And maybe you're going to Italy, you know?
It's possible, for sure.
Some gabagool.
Okay, is that your final answer,
yeah.
Sopranos? Okay, you're actually incorrect, and it's because you might go to Italy.
Oh.
If you got this person that's Sopranos, and they're all talking about how Christopher killed the dog and all this stuff, like, you don't...
I said no spoilers!
Oh, whatever. Like, you don't want to be trucking through Italy. These people are going to be like, you're going to get booted out of the country. At least you get somebody with, like, a dopey hat, and they're like, I'm Heisenberg. Like, that's going to be the better travel buddy.
Because, you don't think they like Sopranos in Italy?
No, they're going to think you're making fun of them. Because they're just going around quoting and they're like, I'm Tony Soprano. You know, don't stop believing.
Is that what he says?
That's
yeah. That a spoiler?
It's a spoiler. No, wait, did you finish it?
I don't know how it ends.
Oh,
I have like 10 episodes left.
You know now.
Okay, no, I don't. Stop. Sorry, I'm going to be so mad at you.
I thought you might. You were
I
really not
just said no spoilers.
I thought you were saying you're not giving spoilers.
Don't say anything else because I really don't know what that means. So don't.
Stop
Don't
believing?
Next question.
Okay.
We're wrong. Shocking.
I'm sorry.
What's next?
Wow. Okay. Next up. So you're 0-2. And
I'm 0-1,000,000. I've spent 6 years trying to get through this terrible
show. I thought
show.
You meant that you're not
no,
spoiling
move on.
It for people.
You're gonna make it worse.
Okay. Ted Lasso or Friday Night Lights?
Oh God.
I haven't seen either show.
The last season of Ted Lasso is the biggest disappointment in the history of mankind.
That's saying a lot. That's like saying a lot. I mean, we had like lots of problems in mankind.
You haven't seen either of you?
I've seen some of Ted Lasso.
Julia?
I haven't seen any.
I feel like Ted Lasso is more of a like upbeat show.
Okay.
It's funny. Friday Night Lights isn't really.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Ted Lasso.
Fine. Yeah, that's what I assumed the shows were about.
And it's an international show.
Lighthearted.
So again, maybe you know a thing or two about football.
Mm. Okay. Final answer. Julia, do you agree?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Consensus. Ted Lasso. The correct answer is actually Friday Night Lights. You think that there might be that international element to football, as it's called overseas, and soccer here. But in reality, you're going to get somebody that is really just trying to be like this life coach to you. And isn't like... Like, well, you know what? You can really be better at this.
Because they watch Ted Lasso.
Yes, 100%.
That is a reach.
No.
I watch Ted Lasso. I don't life coach anyone.
It's like, you just want somebody to go do the stuff. Like, just go Friday night, big lights, big hearts, can't lose, whatever. You want a doer on this trip. You don't want somebody, like, questioning and, like, life coaching you the entire way.
How about I want to travel with someone who doesn't play Travel Buddies because it's the stupidest game ever.
Okay, do you want another spoiler?
No!
All right, somebody whose favorite show, last one here, you're 0 for 3, you're going to get this one, I think, that watches House of Dragons, or their favorite show is Mandalorian.
Neither.
I've seen some Mandalorian.
That might be the correct answer.
Mandalorian is so sleepy to me.
Okay.
I did fall asleep to Mandalorian episodes.
House of Dragon has some, like, interesting fashion. I'm going to go with that.
I'm with Shep.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't seen enough of either.
Okay. And Julia, do you agree?
Yeah, I haven't seen either.
And you could use like the HBO Max subscription. It's more of an expensive subscription. That's a really good point. We should have been doing the whole thing that way.
Mm-hmm. Good thought. Good thought. But the correct answer is Mandalorian.
Oh, shocking.
Because the last thing you need, everybody already went through Game of Thrones and realize all the family names on like what a Targaryen is, they're going to be like, oh, isn't this person like a Spindalorian? And you're like, I didn't watch House of Dragons. I don't need to have every fact related to this stupid made up fictional Game of Thrones, House of Dragons family. Like that's the most annoying part.
I'm pretty sure Star Wars people are like that too. But
I've
whatever.
Never seen Mandalorian to be fair. 0 for 4.
Shocking.
Better luck next time.
Okay. We'll see you next week. You know what time it is. It's officially marketing o'clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it live.